This is the Cubs-related podcast presented by CubsInsider.com. We are coming to you on a Sunday evening after the Cubs have taken 2 of 3 from the Cincinnati Reds in a series, all 3 games decided by 1 run. So we will take a look at those 3 games. We will talk about the Cubs selections for the All-Star game in Washington, D.C. that were announced earlier Sunday afternoon, and we will look ahead to this upcoming West Coast road trip. Let's jump right into these games against the Reds. On Friday, the Cubs come back falling short. They fall 3-2 to the Reds. They fail to solve Tyler Mahle, who goes 6 2/3 with 5 hits, 1 earned run while striking out 4. A good start for Mike Montgomery. He goes 5, allowing 3 earned runs, walking and striking out 2 each. The Cubs would get within a run in the 8th on a Ben Zobrist sack fly, but that is all they would get, with Cincinnati closer Raisel Iglesias closing out this one for his 17th save. On Saturday, the Cubs winning a 1-run game. Randy Rosario playing a bit of a hero. We'll talk more about him in a second, but he delivers a solid 2 1/3 innings of scoreless relief for your best friend, Brendan, Tyler Chatwood, who goes 5 2/3, allowing 7 earned runs and 4 walks. And I will tell you, Brendan, jumping in here, I was at this game, and Tyler was getting some pretty heavy boos, at least relative to the types of reactions you're used to from this crowd.
Were you participating in the boos?
At this point. No, I don't boo generally.
You don't boo. There's been instances, you said.
Amateur hour, I'm not a fan of, you know that. But no, I mean, I at this point, I don't think it's really that productive. I mean, maybe you're booing Madden for letting him out there, but
that's even worse.
He's got to wear one, so he certainly did. 120 pitches for Tyler in this one, but the Cubs offense putting up 8, highlighted by a 4-run 8th inning to cap this comeback. The keys there, a Ben Zobrist double, a Javi Baez single, and an Anthony Rizzo groundout that brings in Ben Zobrist for the winning run. Brandon Morrow locking down his 20th save. On Sunday, the Cubs taking 2 of 3 with a final 6-5. Luke Farrell getting the win, and he was actually good in his inning of work. This game started by John Lester, who goes 6 1/3, allowing 4 earned runs. He gets taken deep, that the source of most of his runs allowed, Eugenio Suarez with his 19th home run. That put the Reds up 3-2, and Addison Russell ground out tied the game at 3. The Reds would retake the lead in the 5th on a very silly play from the Cubs. Billy Hamilton stealing 2nd, the throw from Wilson getting into center, and Billy just keeps on running after a bobble from Almora, who throws home, and Wilson cannot corral this one. And it looked for a while that would have been a very annoying way to lose this game, Brendan, had they lost on that Billy Hamilton play. But the Reds going up 4-3 there in the 5th. The Cubs would regain the lead in the bottom of the 7th on a Javi Baez single. That put the Cubs up 5-4. And then Brandon Morrow actually blowing the save in this one today. Adam Duvall taking him very deep to tie the game at 5. And that would bring us to the 10th, where it was a David Bodey walk-off walk to score Wilson Contreras. And the Cubs picking up the win and the series victory in this one. A very interesting series. All the games, again, decided by 1 run, but good to, after the sweep at the hands of the Reds in Cincinnati, finally win some games against them, Brendan. So I will throw it to you for your player of the series and some general thoughts here on what turned out to be a successful weekend at Wrigley Field.
My player of the series, I'm going to have you take Javi. Javi's a slam dunk. You can't go with anyone other than Javi, but I do want to just point out how fun it was to watch Randy Rosario. He goes over 2 innings in that 2nd game. He holds down the Reds. He has his own RBI single, his first hit in his first at bat. He's batting 1,000. His win record is also perfect. So Randy Rosario gets the nod there. And I got to say, too, when we look at Rosario, we look at Bass, Those two guys have been huge for this team, Corey, with Mario being out for an extended period of time, with Edwards dealing with that shoulder inflammation. So those two guys have come up clutch. And with Rosario being, I think he just turned 24, he has six more years of team control. He throws over 95. He's got a wicked slider. His repertoire is very similar to that of Justin Wilson with more control. So I liked what I've seen from Rosario. And I think, too, the Cubs now being 15 games over 500, they're going to the West Coast ahead of the All-Star break. They're going to get healthy. They're going to face a weak team in the Padres, which I'll be going to the game, actually, in San Diego, ooh, which I bought through SeatGeek. And I actually have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's the easiest way that I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few tabs, I can instantly find seats. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. For me, it saves me time. I can be searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices, and I can get pretty good deals. Best of all, our listeners, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CUBSRELATED today. That's promo code CUBSRELATED for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. But Corey, I mentioned with Bass and Rosario kind of stepping up and filling the void for CJ and Morrow, it kind of goes to show you how deep this team has been. And with Morrow back, with CJ back, with Bryant hopefully coming back this series in San Francisco, with Rizzo hopefully getting off the schneid here, this team hasn't even clicked. They're 15 over 500. Things have not clicked. This is the ideal situation right now, I think.
Right. I think there's definitely some things to iron out, some things that we're, you know, still waiting for, obviously. But this team, yeah, it's a good place to be. And, you know, look, I think nobody really wants to give them credit, but this Reds team is scrappy, Brendan.
Dude, they've been killing it.
This is a good team. This is a great offense.
I think since Riggleman took over, they're over 500. I know in the last like 35, 40 games, they're playing well above what we all expected. And that offense is disgusting.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we certainly saw some of that. So I think this was a good series. And, you know, it's always good to see this team be able to win close games. Winning one-run games is always a nice thing that you like to see your team doing. And just that game on Saturday, man. And you know, maybe we can transition this into a little bit on Tyler Chatwood. But I just think one of the most important things that we saw this weekend was the offense's ability to win that game. And to be able to put up eight runs, when you go down in a hole like that, they face a five-run deficit twice in this game and start the game down 5-0, 2-0 immediately after the first inning. And yeah, for the offense, especially in the late innings, putting up 1 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, or excuse me, 4 then in the 8th to win the game, that just shows a lot of heart and just dedication to the process to be able to stick with those at-bats and come back on a Reds bullpen that has been very good and has some good arms in it.
Well, Javi said we've been coming back since 2016. You saw that, right?
Yes, that was a great quote.
Yeah, phenomenal quote. And it's true. But over the past year, especially this year, I think the situational hitting has been better. And even though there were times this series, Corey, where they didn't come through, overall in the past week and a half, 2 weeks, they have come through in the situations. They have come through making contact to get runners home. We saw it today with Russell. We saw it with Rizzo having the game-winning RBI yesterday, making contact. So they're doing these things that normally were not the case last year, and they're able to capitalize now on the athleticism of some of these guys. The base running in this series, in this homestand, was phenomenal. And so when you can capitalize that off of situational hitting and just the uber talent that they have when they can slam the ball in the gap and over the fence, like, I'm reminded by what Ben Zobra said, like, you can't beat us. Like, you cannot beat a team like that. So that's kind of where I am with this. There's a tangible difference, I feel like. And I don't know, I mean, you were at the games this past week, and you obviously were at games last year and previous years, but this team feels different to me, Corey, than last year. I don't know what it is. It may be the situational hitting right now and just the general improvement in awareness, but overall, I think what we've seen in the past week has been quite a turnaround from what we saw last year.
Yeah, I think this team is maybe more mature Maybe that's the one of the words. I just think some of these guys seem a lot more comfortable in their roles. And obviously we're seeing guys like Almora, Baez, et cetera, stepping into a bigger role. I mean, obviously, you know, we've mentioned this and talked about this, but, you know, Bryant is obviously out now, and this is not the first time that he has missed time this year. Rizzo's missed time, and he has not performed to the level that we're accustomed to.
So those two guys, want to jump in there, and then you can keep going, but those two guys, Rizzo, they've missed a combined 30 games together. So 30 games, Cubs have not had them in the lineup at the same time.
And certainly we have seen very little of them in the lineup at the same time and going at the same time.
Right,
that feels
exactly.
Like it hasn't really happened at all this year.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think too, what Madden said about Javi, about Willie, it stands out. I mean, for example, Madden said about Javi after he was selected to his first All-Star game today, quote, "To watch them blossom over the last couple years," Madden said, "you see what Javi's gone through, from this crazy swinger to a much more controlled game of baseball combined with his instincts." And that's true. It's hard to kind of get that in the stat, like on FanGraphs, because the overall numbers are not going to back what Madden says. For example, Javi's outside the zone swing rate is still pretty normal, but when you look at the slider chase rate and you look where he's swinging at pitches, it is different. And I think we've all watched the games. Corey, you're there. I've watched almost every single at bat from Javi this year, I feel like. It's different. And he does look more controlled. And he does have more awareness. And he's growing. And you're right. He has a more mature approach at the plate.
Yeah, I think that definitely the eye test, there's just something different there. And he's always had this confidence and this swagger, but it just... It really feels like we're in a place now where, you know, you're in these late situations and there's almost nobody you'd rather have up right now. I mean, certainly during this recent stretch, you know, his last like 25 games, putting up incredible numbers.
Yeah.
And it's sort of crazy to think that we're in that place. We've certainly seen him come up with clutch at bats and performances before, but when he is this hot, he feels impossible.
It's like Soriano, man. It's like a lot like Soriano.
It feels like, even if he's not hitting, it just feels like when he's playing like this and he's playing at his best, he's going to affect the game for the Cubs in a positive way. He's going to find a way to do something. And that's just a really incredible feeling to watch a player with.
Yeah. I want to see if you can guess this. I couldn't guess it. And you know, I love doing this to you. This stat is from our Shy Cubs, but the last 24 games, can you name Javi Baez's batting average and his WRC plus? This guy's, come on.
I did look at it. I think I saw this before.
Okay. It's 90 plate appearances.
The batting average was like 420 or something like that.
420. close. It's 415.
Okay.
WRC plus, what is it?
Oh, I saw this. This was like 202.
Yeah, 202. You see, you're no fun. Come on, at least, you know, play around here.
I mean, I'm not really a good actor, so me pretending I didn't see it probably wouldn't go that well.
Okay. Well, 202. I'm surprised. And I know Javi was doing well, but in 90 plate appearances, guys, 90 plate appearances is well over a hot streak. That's not a hot streak. I mean, of course, it's a hot streak, but like, that's 24 games. It will be fun to see what he does after the All-Star break, too, to see if these changes he's made will actually carry over to like long-lasting improvements. But if you were to tell me, Corey, going into July 9th, that Bryant and Rizzo would both miss 30 games combined in the lineup, Rizzo would be where he's at, and the rotation would be where they are with Darvish and with Hendricks and with Chatwood, all of them kind of not performing up to their standards, I would have had a heart attack. I really would have. But Javi, Willie, Hayward, Almora, they're stepping up. 15 games over 500. This should not be happening. This is not what the computers thought would happen. And when you get everyone else back healthy, they're gonna win over 100 games. I really think so.
Yeah, I think the depth of this group was something that we and, you know, certainly everybody else was harping on, and that's one of the strengths of this team. And when you look around at, you know, the rest of the division, the rest of the league. Like, this depth is something that really sets the Cubs apart, in that you can see a scenario where your big guys aren't carrying all of the weight for this team, and it's, you know, really nothing for this group. They just sort of keep on rolling and other guys step up, and you know, you brought it up before a little bit, but you know, you see it with David Bodie too. I mean, he comes up,
he gets
slotted in, and he's having a big impact in some of these games, and he looks great in a lot of these games. So it's really great to see. And again, it's always a testament to Joe Maddon for getting these guys the opportunities. There's only 9 spots. So, you know, that's one of those things where people want to see certain guys more or certain guys less, but it's also about finding a way for these guys to develop. And when you see the results like this, it's really exciting. And I think, you know, especially you look at a day like today where David Bodie is, you know, granted a walk-off walk, but he did have a big home run in this past week. He has, you know, a big moment in this game. He's getting, you know, piled on by his teammates after the game. And in the same day, you have Baez and Contreras making the All-Star team. And, you know, this is not any of the guys that started for this team in 2016. This is a completely different set of players.
Yeah, it's wild.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Bodie, 43 plate appearances, batting .294, .353 wOBA, played phenomenal defense at third base. This is coming out of nowhere, Corey. But I kind of want to transition to a little bit more negative, because we're being too positive right now. We got to balance it out.
Classic Brendan.
What are we going to do with Chatwood? Like I mean, the immediate obvious answer,
Corey. Might as well just get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's get it out of the way. I mean, the immediate answer is there's nothing you can do. Darvish is injured. He'll be starting. But, Corey, I don't know, man. I don't know. Of course,
So I think an equally interesting question is what happened. I mean, we're seeing walk totals for this portion of the season that he's put up in whole seasons before. Like, what happened when he came over to the Cubs?
Historically bad walk rates. This is absurd.
That he just cannot throw strikes.
So what do we do? Seriously, what do they do? I mean, like, again, people are going to be like, well, if you put him into the bullpen, it's a huge knock on his confidence. I don't particularly buy that. I feel as if Hickey and Maddon can spin it off as a way to work on things in low leverage situations without the pressure. It's kind of like what they did with Happ earlier in the year. They took him out of the lineup. They moved him down. It's like what they did with Schwarber. They took him out. They put him in AAA for 3 weeks. He came back, never been better.
Right.
So I don't know the actual answer, but we're all watching this. To have the stress in the bullpen, like with Strope and Cizek, having to go exhaustively over the last several weeks, Corey, I don't think they can keep doing this, man. I don't think it's good for the player either. Like, come on. It's bad.
We've seen some really big performances from some of these guys coming up and stepping into these roles. But, you know, you also have to wonder how long you can keep playing a game like that where you have some of these guys eating so many significant innings.
Right. I mean,
but
someone like...
And that outing on Saturday was particularly rough. Uncorking 2 straight wild pitches to bring in runs is rough, man, and really reflective of, you know, that, like, unfortunately, this guy just has no clue where the ball is going when he's trying to make a pitch. And even in situations where you do have runners, you know, in scoring position and you are definitely not trying to throw the ball 10 feet in front of the plate, he can't do it. And it's concerning. But yeah, I mean, look, he's a back end of the rotation guy, and you know, generally you wouldn't put that much stress on this particular situation, but it really feels like he's just non-competitive in a lot of these starts.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that I can't really get past. It's fine if your fifth starter is putting up bad numbers and, you know, the performance isn't there. You know, you can deal with it. But to, you know, just so many walks and wild pitches and pitches that are immediately not strikes, it's just very frustrating to watch. And again, I'm not someone who boos, but I understand the frustration. And you also feel for the position players who, you know, they want to support their teammate, but every time they're going out there in these games, they know they're going to be out there for long innings in the field, and they're going to have to, you know, really do some work at the plate to be able to stick in these games, which is why I thought Saturday's offensive performance was so impressive. But yeah, I would prefer to see somebody else getting these starts. And, you know, I know that the options internally right now are not, you know, blowing anybody off the page or anything like that. But so what? I just don't know what someone, you know, what could Dwayne Underwood be doing that wouldn't be comparable to this.
So let me read off. Let me read off what the AAA guys are doing in the rotation. Because to be frank with you, it's not the best either.
Right.
Alec Mills, he has a 4.69 ERA, a 4.09 FIP. His K per nine is a little under 8. His walk per nine is basically 3 flat. His home run per nine is 0.6. So basically, if he comes over, he'll be below league average. Jenho Singh has been a disaster this year for AAA Cubs. He has a 7.1 ERA. I don't see how that is justified of him coming up. Dwayne Underwood Jr., we saw him in Los Angeles. He's a pretty high, powerful guy. Of course, he's very big. But even in AAA, again, not doing the best. 4.6 ERA, 3.7 FIP. Number is very similar to Alec Mills. So I don't know, Corey. I guess you have to balance the pros and cons when it comes to Chatwood and even these younger guys like Underwood Jr. and Jenho Singh, like, what would it do to their psyche if they come up and get shelled? And it's not as if Underwood exactly went deep in his first start having 41 pitches in the first inning. So is there another option? Probably not. But I guess the crux of the issue is, how do you get Tyler Chatwood back on track? And if Jim Hickey and Joe Maddon and Theo, and if they believe wholeheartedly that, you know what, he's got to stay in the rotation, then I will buy it. I will be on board with that. It's just, it's very difficult to watch guys in the bullpen go down to injury, like Carl with his shoulder injury because of being used heavily, and having to lay off guys like Cizek and Strope over the last week because they've been used heavily. So it's I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I feel as if so long as we have Chatwood and some of these guys come up from AAA, like, they're going to have an immediate long guy in that bullpen. It's almost as if it's a second bullpen day for these guys.
Right. Yeah, I certainly don't think that I have the solution for you. But I think, you know, it's something that I think you can deal with a little bit for now. Obviously, they're doing fine with it. But I do think that as you get further in the season, you know, you just can't have these efforts in close games, Brendan, in, you know, late August and September. If you're within a few games in the division, you need someone who you can, I think, count on for a more reliable start. No?
Yeah. Here's the thing. When Darvish comes back, then it will be probably in August, realistically in August. You have 3 to 4 weeks before September hits, then you have the rosters get expanded. If they don't have a six-man rotation by then, I'll be shocked. So at this point, it's just surviving. It's just getting through those weeks where you don't have rosters expanded. So I think at this point right now, you just got to survive. You got to hope Chatwood kind of turns it around. You got to put him in a position that he can turn it around. But I don't know, Corey. It's difficult at the same time. And I think if I'm being honest with you, if I'm being fully honest with you, I'd rather see...
Be honest with me.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Corey. I'm going to spill my heart out. I really rather see Underwood come up. I'm interested in his stuff. I don't see the harm in it right now. You put Chatwood in the bullpen, get him righted. I don't know. I feel like if I had to pick, if I have to pick, then I want to go with that scenario.
When I feel like it's, you know, you see what, and you know, you and I both like the signing, and at times this year you've seen why they want to continue giving him chances. Obviously, they paid him, but, you know, we've seen his stuff succeed, even in this sample with the Cubs, and have some really good showings and ability to generate ground balls and to play to this defense and get double plays. And so you want to get that figured out, but we are just getting to a point in the season where, you know, as has been the case with other things, it's either got to get going or you sort of need to look at other options. So we'll see how they approach that, as he'll have, you know, what, a few more starts here before the trade deadline. And, you know, you see where you are with Darvish and if you want to, you know, add anything and see what you want to do for this last run of season.
Oh, yeah. Also, a little bit of updated news. J-Hap, I believe he wants to go by J, not J-A. J-Hap has been a target, apparently connected to the Cubs recently. So some of the local sources and whatnot have brought it up. So kind of a weird position. I would not have expected the Cubs at the start of the year to be looking for pitching help at the deadline. But someone like J-Hap, cheap deal, veteran lefty, mid-30s, maybe the Cubs are interested in him. Also, the Yankees have been connected to him, as have other several contenders. Also, updates on Darvish. He had a cortisone shot in his shoulder. The latest news is that he sounds as if he feels better, but they're back at square one with him, so they're gonna go slow. We'll have him throw a bullpen, hopefully maybe within the next week or 2 weeks, see how that goes, and then kind of ramp up the process as they did prior to the elbow injury coming back into play here, Corey. So I think that catches us all up there. Can we talk about Amago and Willie? I think it's time.
I believe we are always encouraged to talk about Amago.
Okay. So both make the All-Star team for the first time. First off, thoughts. I think for me, watching Willie getting the news was like very defining of who he is. Mm-hmm. He, if you haven't seen this, at Cubs posted a video of both the players getting the news. Willie in particular was very emotional. So he gets the news, he goes to the batting cage, he gives everyone, you know, high fives, hugs, whatever. And then just before he starts taking his hacks, he kind of has a moment to himself. He starts crying and he looks up at his bat, and the look on his face is one of just complete satisfaction, complete fulfillment. And for someone who came over in 2009, not knowing English, from Venezuela, with all the issues in his country, being told by losers like Clint Hurdle that he does not respect the game, and all the, you know, hoopla with the Cardinals and Yadi and everything, to have him have that moment, that's who he is, Corey. And I really enjoyed seeing that. And no one deserves it more on this team, honestly, than Willis and Contreras, Corey.
Yeah, this was a feel-good selection here, both of them. And, you know, they're both deserving. I mean, you can debate the semantics of this all you want. It really doesn't matter. There's no rules to this, so I don't really care, you know, where these guys rank or anything like that, because the whole thing is a mess. I mean, you look at some of the guys that aren't on the team, you know, someone like Blake Snell comes to mind, Max Muncy. I mean, how these guys aren't all-stars is really
Charlie
sort of ridiculous.
Blackman, by the way, has a -1.1 baseball reference for it. He's on the team.
Yeah, so all that's to say, I think I said the last time that really the only thing I cared about was Javi getting it. At the time, I don't remember knowing that Wilson had a chance to do it.
I guess I just figured Posey would,
you know, get all those votes. But, you know, that the main concern for me was that you know that this means so much to them. And no matter what the game means, whether it counts for home field advantage, which it doesn't anymore, but or nothing, or they start playing it for a bunch of money, anything, you know that the honor of being an all-star and just having that benchmark of your career means so much to these guys. And to see them get that news and to know that they'll have this experience is, you know, it was a very cool thing to see as a Cubs fan and you know, someone that like all of you have followed these guys for so long and know that journey. And I do love, Brendan, the notion of the two of them being chaperoned by John Lester.
I've
played around with that kind of, it really would make for a good movie, I think. Their like dad, John Lester, helping them around the nation's capital.
That suit that John was wearing today too. the perfect mm-hmm. John Lester suit.
I do get the sense that John, while he appreciates the sentiment, might prefer to be fishing or, you know, relaxing somewhere.
He's going to have a good time
pitching though. In an All-Star game. But maybe I'm, you know, I don't know.
He's going to have a good time. Well, he gets a nice fat pay bonus because of it. So, yes. You know, I think he can withstand the 4 days of having to go to D.C.
But there's just something about, like, Javi Baez All-Star
it fits.
Everything that is right with baseball. Yes, it's just the way that it should be. And I know that the numbers are really close for him and Albies from the Atlanta Braves, also a great player. And
nah, Javi deserved it. Value-wise,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't really care. Very happy for Javi, and I'm very happy that he's starting. Like, he is going to be front and center in this game. And, you know, whether the Clint Hurdles of the league or anybody else likes it, he is going to be, you know, one of the faces of this game for at least one evening. And that is very exciting.
Yes.
And, I think good to see, you know, same sentiment for Willie. And, you know, John deserves it. Obviously, I'm happy to see him go. Though, obviously, I don't want him pitching in the game.
He shouldn't. I swear to God. If Dave Roberts puts him in that game.
Who is it? Dave Roberts.
Well, there's a reason why Dave Roberts is managing. He lost a World Series. You know,
That's right. You do get that honor as well. You get a participation trophy.
Yeah.
And also, you get to manage a meaningless exhibition game. Yeah.
Good job.
So it's cool.
Yeah. It's cool for the Dodgers to experience here. But I want to read this quote by Joe Maddon on Wilson Contreras. I think it's a phenomenal quote, as usually is the case with Joe Maddon. Talking about Contreras, it's a little bit long one, but bear with me here. He said, quote, "Wilson has pretty much fought his way, and now he is the best catcher in the National League. I think he's the best catcher in the baseball." A lot of big words from Joe Maddon here. He went on to say and continued, "I know that he has some things to work on physically. Talent-wise, he's not realized all of that yet, but it's going to happen on a daily basis. It's the energy, what he does stopping a running game, his clutch hitting, his power, it's all there, and he really studies the pitchers." And we can get into this, too, because I think it's interesting. The dynamic between he and John Lester, a very successful pitcher throughout his entire career, John Lester, he had high words for Wilson Contreras, a 26-year-old, and I love that. And to have a young catcher like that earn the respect of a grizzled veteran like John Lester speaks a volume to the character, to the work ethic, to the drive that Wilson Contreras has here, Corey.
Right. So the quote that you sent me from Patrick Mooney on Twitter, he says, "It's a little more gratifying to see Wilson go. I know our relationship has grown a lot over the last couple of years. I know the whole Rossi thing is kind of always in the back of his mind every time we take the ball." What a quote. When John brings it, he really brings it, you know? Hey, I feel like he's a great guy for the media to cover. He really knows how to get a soundbite.
When his career is over, hopefully he stays within the Cubs, whenever their shows or their pregame stuff.
I feel like he's retiring. He's done with this.
Probably. We'll see. You never know. John is full of surprises, Corey, even when he hits homers. But yes, Wilson Contreras, I think where his numbers are right now, they're sneaky good. So he is actually quite literally the best catcher in the National League. His batting average now is close to 300. His wOBA close to 370. He's 26 years old. It's wild to me. And I know the big issue with Wilson, and we've talked about it exhaustively, is the pitch framing. So it's not the best. It's actually rated in the bottom tier of the league. It may never get better. That's the case. He's been there for 2.5 years now, but it actually may get better as well. But there's one thing we know with Wilson. He's going to work on it. He's going to try to get better. And maybe all of a sudden it kind of clicks for him. But I think the overall total thought when it comes to this Cubs All-Stars is like Javi and Willie are the two guys who kind of represent what the Cubs have done over the past several years now. They get guys who are very individualistic, who are hardworking, who get criticized by people who are not familiar with the squad, and they run with it. They don't care. the team loves him, their teammates love them, and I think this is a good showcase for both of them. Also, Corey, Javi was asked if he were to be asked to participate in the Home Run Derby, would he do it? And Javi said yes. So if Major League Baseball does not ask Javi Baez to participate in the Home Run Derby, everyone in their marketing department should be just completely let go. It'd be a travesty. Yeah. You got to have Javi in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's nobody better for the role.
The like chains I said, I mean, I really around. Hope
that he's just on full display. It should really be the Javi star game. That's really what everybody wants. It's what everybody needs. And, you know, he's also one of those guys where he's basically swinging like it's a home run derby most of the time anyway. You know, he's going to swing as hard as he can, and he's going to go out there and have a good time.
I mean, I'm a little concerned, though, that he'll injure himself in the home run derby.
I'm swinging too hard.
I'm serious, man. If he gets deep into that contest by like the 100th swing, you know what he's going to be doing. Like the next, we don't need like an injured back or whatever. That's serious.
That's true. And he would, knowing him, he would die before he lost. If he had a chance to win, he's going to try to do it. So
yeah,
I'm also looking forward to, if he does do that, you'd get those moments of like Wilson on the sidelines.
Oh my God,
cheering him on. That it hasn't happened yet. I don't know if it will happen, but that just feels like great content, video stuff waiting to happen.
Come on, MLB. Again, you got to do
this. We'll see if John ends
gotta
up going.
What do you mean if John ends up going? He's going.
Well,
he has to go.
I'm just saying maybe he would, you know, get subbed out or something if they don't want him to pitch or anything like that. I'm just saying.
He's got to go. I mean, even if – I'm serious. That's a part of his
John
deal.
Lester listens to no man.
All right. That's true. John Lester is kind of like the Ron Swanson, I feel like, of this Cubs team. But
I would go with that. Yeah.
But no, Corey, even if he doesn't pitch, he's supposed to go.
I really hope that we get something like that of John Lester sort of like showing these guys around. I just feel like that's a very funny scenario to me. These two.
You can make a movie out of it, honestly.
Yeah, just the most energetic and excited, you know, bright-eyed young players. I think this is Lester's fourth All-Star game, maybe?
Wow, fifth. You don't even know that. Shame on you.
Well, that's just because I don't care about the All-Star game.
All right, fair. Touche.
He's been there so many times I lose count.
Touche.
You know?
Touche.
It's one of those things. But yeah, this is a great scenario. And we've seen over the last few years that there are, you know, really periods of time where these two are the driving force of this team. And so I think it's very fitting in a year where they have certainly been, you know, pulling a very heavy portion of this load for this team this year. I think it's very fitting that they are the guys that will represent the Cubs in a team that has obviously been atop the league for the last few years. And these are the guys who I think, especially right now where we are, they are the rightful representatives of this team.
100%. I mean, who else but those two guys is here? They've carried the team despite all the injuries, 50 games over 500. I can't keep stressing that. They deserve it. So also, one other pressing issue in my mind, and I think it actually may become a topic of discussion in the not-so-distant future with Chris Bryant coming back. David Bote and Tommy La Stella, Corey. Mm-hmm. You have to contrast the two because there's one bench spot. The likely scenario is Bote goes back to Iowa, and you wait 6 weeks. He comes back up once rosters expand. That way, Tommy La Stella sustains his role. The guys love him. Club bus loves him. But I got to say, I think if you were to go based off of kind of talent or just production, Bote looks to be a more comfortable bet off the bench, given his versatility, plays third, plays first base, has played second base. I know the same thing can be said about La Stella, but Bote, to me, brings a little bit more in the power department, and we know he's a better defender. So I don't really have any hot takes on what the Cubs should do, just because I think keeping someone like La Stella around is valuable. I mean, La Stella still is batting 280, but there's no power. 296 WOBA, 83 WRC+. He's been a little bit worse recently. But I want to pose a question to you. What mm-hmm. would you rather have right now? Would you, you know, kind of not cut bait? I mean, you kind of have to cut bait with Tommy. What are you going to do here, Corey?
Well, I am not necessarily sure how I would maneuver the roster, but, you know, just because we know they love La Stella and they've loved the role that he's played But you're right. It's been a rough stretch for him. In his last 38 at-bats, a 237 slugging percentage, 184 on base percentage, and the same batting average with 8 strikeouts. So just hasn't been a good stretch for him. And I don't know the resolution to all this, but I want more David Bodie. I know that. I just like what I see
from
this guy.
Like the feel from him, right? Like he has
He just looks he looks comfortable being a part of this group and stepping into these moments like today. That was a good at bat, you know, and something that is big to see from someone that is, you know, trying to get into a role with an already successful team and rising up the ranks. It's a professional AB to take a walk in that scenario and be able to deliver. And we've seen him make some good plays on defense, and he just looks like a guy who could have a nice role here. And we've seen the value of some of these more versatile utility style players that you can maybe move around the field at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't know. He just feels like someone who I want to see more of. And when I see him getting these opportunities in some of these games, I look forward to it. And I look forward to seeing what he can do in them. So I am for the resolution that keeps David Bodie with this group. You know, obviously his situation is going to be a little more flexible than Tommy's. So that certainly is going to affect how they deal with it. But I just have liked what I've seen. And I think that when, you know, we already talked about, you know, how the so much is reflective of this team's depth. And I think anytime you can be sort of creating more of that depth by getting someone like Bodie major league experience and big at bats like he had today, I'm all for it. And I've been very impressed with Bodie. He obviously had a huge spring, and he's looked good so far in this brief major league stint.
Yeah. Again, I think the likely scenario is he goes back to Iowa. It's just you got to keep these guys around to have the added depth. So I get it. Joe Maddon's words about David Bodie were incredible to me. He said that he reminded Bodie reminded Joe Maddon of Ben Zobrist, the maturity, and that was basically it. He said David Bodie kind of sees things on the field that don't typically stand out. And Bodie, 25 years old, kind of has the same background as Ben Zobrist in terms of both married very young, both overlooked in their overall skill set, both have great professional at-bats so far that we've seen from Bodie. So I can see the comparison there. And it's high praise from Joe Maddon. It just goes to show you that what the Cubs have done over the last several years, having these guys kind of come out of the blue, like Wilson Contreras and David Bodie, you don't expect that. And I think that goes to show you just how much praise we should be giving some of this development team. But let's go ahead and preview the series up ahead against the Giants. So the Cubs are probably flying to San Francisco at the moment. They have a game tomorrow or Monday if you're listening to this. The game starts at 9:15 p.m. Central Time. The battery matchup is going to be Hendricks, and then we have Suarez on the mound for the Giants. Hendricks is 5-8, 4.27 ERA, has not been good for the past about 6 starts now. Suarez 3-5, 3.92 ERA. And then on Tuesday, Jose Quintana takes the mound. He'll face Johnny Cueto. We know a lot about Johnny Cueto. He's had injuries recently, but overall his numbers on the year are 3-1, 1.95 ERA. Jose Quintana 7-6, 4.22 ERA. Quintana seems like he's close. I don't know what it is, but he seems like he's close. He's not getting the whiffs, but he shows spurts where he looks like he kind of has it. But it would be nice to have Q go deep in the start. We haven't seen that in a while. And then on Wednesday, we have Mike Montgomery in the mound. He'll be facing Pudge Rodriguez's son, a pitcher who's 3-1, 3.09 ERA. Montgomery 3-3, 3.61 ERA. That Wednesday final game starts at 2:45 p.m. Central Time. And the weather, I'm going to give the weather forecast. On Monday, it's going to be a beautiful 73 degrees. It'll be a little windy, no chance of rain. On Tuesday, again, 73 degrees, no chance of rain. Wednesday, a little cloudy, some morning clouds, but in the afternoon it should clear up. There is a 10% chance of rain, probably in the morning. They're going to get all three of these games in. It'll be perfect weather. It'll be a nice change up from the heat that they've had in Chicago over the last week. Corey, the Giants are 47-45. They're still within the division race. In the West, the Dodgers have been hot. The Diamondbacks have been hot. It'll be fun. It'll be a nice matchup. Typically, if you can escape this West Coast trip at 500, it's a success. It's difficult for this team to travel across the country. But overall, what are we looking for these upcoming three games?
I think it's just keeping up with what they're doing. And yeah, this is sort of a tough trip. It's unfortunate that this team has to fly to and from the West Coast within, what, a two-week span, yeah. Basically? Yep. That's kind of an unfortunate scheduling.
To be fair, it's before the All-Star break. So, yes. You know, you got to give some to get some.
Sure. But still. So that's basically what I'm looking for is that, you know, generally these trips are, if there's extenuating circumstances in some of these games and series, this is the trip where those tend to pop up the most. You know, you're playing six games in 7 days. You're changing time zones very quickly. And, you know, though you do have an off day there on Thursday, which is nice, you know, playing later games, et cetera. But, you know, just keep it going. I mean, you know, we're still, I think, in the same place with a lot of these things. We're still looking for Hendricks and Quintana to kick it into gear and, you know, just, I think, inspire a little more confidence that they are going to reach their top of the rotation selves.
What's your confidence level in those two right now out of 10? 10 being high, 1 being low.
The two of them together or individually?
Individually.
Hendricks, I don't know, out of 10, maybe 8-ish.
That's very high.
Quintana's probably lower, probably a 6.
Okay. I can get behind that. I would give Hendricks, I give an 8. Q, I'm going to give a 5. I've made my concerns about Q very strongly. I think, though, overall, he's looked better recently than in you know, late May. But as far as Hendricks, we can kind of just briefly touch on this here, Corey. But the biggest thing, as you know, last year was the velocity, right? Throwing 84, throwing 85. This year, the velocity still is much higher, basically within range of 2016, around 87, 88. Velocity is not an issue. Changeup, not an issue. He's still getting 20% whiffs, which is well within his career range. Not an issue. You know the issue. We all know the issue. Sinker command. Fastball command. He's leaving more pitches over the middle of the plate. Now, it's a matter of whether or not you think that's going to last. Personally, Kyle Hendricks is a guy of rigid routine and consistency. If this goes on longer, I would be surprised, but I just kind of default to that he'll figure it out. And he's not that far off. You look at his, like, heat maps of where he's throwing his sinkers. It's a little bit more over the middle of the plate, but it's not drastic. I don't know. I feel as if with Kyle, you just kind of trust that he'll do it. Everything else is looking normal. He hasn't been showing signs of fatigue or injuries or whatever. So I think in a month, we will be talking very differently about Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I think that's why my confidence in him in particular is higher. He's one of those guys I just sort of trust to figure it out.
Yeah.
And even if he has to figure something else out, I trust him to do that too. So I just sort of, with whatever he's got on a given day, I generally trust him to figure it out in the long run. But yeah, I don't know anything in particular. I think always this stretch before the All-Star break, you know, hope to just sort of keep things up and leave yourself in a good position to take those 3 days of rest and get after it in the second half. You know, we know that really no matter what here over this next week, they're going to be in a tight race with the Brewers, with, you know, one of them ahead of the other in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, I think just keeping things going here. They're playing well, they're winning series, and, you know, again, a good showing this weekend against a Reds team that has been playing very well, that has been winning series against good teams, and winning some one-run games here. So, you know, you're hoping to figure out this injury situation with some of these guys. But, you know, again, like we said, I think this team is in a good place, and I think we just sort of have to buckle up for the long haul here. It might be a tight race, so, but this team is playing good. They've played good for the majority of this season, and, you know, I think we just have to let it ride here. But, yeah, you know, always wary of these West Coast trips just because they're really the only trip that's significantly different, I think, than any other games they play throughout the year. So hoping for, you know, not a disaster, I think,
well,
is fine.
They may get a lift with KB coming back, right? He rehabs on Monday. Hopefully they get him back maybe for that Wednesday game. So they may get a boost here. You never know.
Yeah. But I think other than that, I think that is all we have for you. So we will come to you on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, after the Cubs and Giants finish up their three-game set. But until then, this has been the Cubs-related podcast presented by CubsInsider.com. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, and other podcast mediums. We are working on a couple of others that you guys have asked for, so stick with us on that. We would appreciate it if you gave us a 5-star review and a comment in the Apple Store, the Apple Podcasts app, iTunes, wherever you can find that on your device. And other than that, we thank you for listening, and go Cubs.